Hi, welcome to Cloud Cover. My name is Nathan Totten. And Glenn. Glenn.
One sec. Glenn. Sorry. Hi, I'm Glenn Block. And today we've got some great guests on our show. To my right is Matt Pardy from Cloud9. He's an evangelist. And we have Ruben Daniels, who is the CEO of Cloud9.
Very good. So we're going to have these guys demo some of their Cloud9 features. But before that, let's do the news.
Let's do it.
Woohoo!
So first up, Glenn, why don't you talk about the Azure SDK for Node.js that was just released a few weeks ago?
Yes, so we had an update to our Azure SDK, and the big feature we added was Service Bus. So what that allows you to do is, you know, Service Bus is a great service in Windows Azure for doing pub/sub. And now with our updates to our module, you can create applications that are consuming and using Service Bus as a mechanism for distributed type communication. And you don't even have to be hosted in Windows Azure to do it. Of course, you can. You get some benefits there in terms of being, you know, in the same data center, et cetera. But what it allows you to do also is I could be running our NPM module on Heroku, which, by the way, another thing we did which was significant in this release was our previous releases, the minimum node version requirement that we had meant that you couldn't really run our module in Heroku without doing a bunch of gymnastics. And we've now, you know, we love people doing gymnastics, but we've kind of alleviated that need. So you guys got to go get exercise somewhere else. But if you use our latest version of the module, you'll see that it should work out of the box on Heroku. We've done a bunch of other fixes and things like that, but I think the Service Bus is really like the big feature there.
Cool. Great. So next up, exciting announcements around pricing on SQL Azure. We've reduced the price on our SQL Azure instances quite significantly. And we also have a new 100 megabyte database option, which allows you to get started using SQL Azure for very little money. So again, reduced pricing up to, 48 to 75% savings, depending on which database option you're using. So very cool for SQL developers. Another really quick feature with SQL Azure, now you actually can move SQL databases between subscriptions. So some people have asked for that. You know, say you've got two different subscriptions and you want actually, instead of redeploying your database, you know, you can actually just in the portal select and say, I want to move this server over to a new subscription. So a little, you know, not a huge deal, but a convenience factor. So next up, why don't you tell us a little bit about ASP.NET MVC 4 that was released?
Well, yeah, that was huge. We just had our beta release for ASP.NET MVC 4, which one of the really cool features, it's got a bunch of cool features for mobile, and one of the really cool features it has is ASP.NET Web API, which is a nice way to build...
Should we be clapping?
We should be clapping. which is really a cool way to build web apps that can be consumed by a range of different devices, not just browsers.
Very cool. And you can't now, so the ASP.NET 4 is, MVC 4 is still in beta. It doesn't ship with Windows Azure, obviously, since it's still in beta, but you can use it in Windows Azure if you set, you know, copy local and deploy that way. So you can definitely use MVC4 in and the web APIs in Windows Azure.
And there's other updates, of course, as well. Like other parts of you know, MVC itself has been updated, and there's also like web pages, Razor, etc.
Razor 2.
Updates across the board.
And it is, even though it's a beta, there is a go live license now, so you can use that including in Windows Azure. So very cool. The last thing I think we're going to talk about is obviously there was some big news with Microsoft. Windows 8, I guess, was released.
Kind of big news. I think we had a million downloads in one day.
Something like that. The consumer preview of Windows 8. So for those who have downloaded and tried it, we actually put up a page on WindowsAzure.com describing basically how you can use, how you can install the Windows Azure tools and actually run, develop Windows Azure applications on Windows 8. So the Windows Azure tools are not yet available for Visual Studio 11 beta, but you can install Windows Visual Studio 2010 and Visual Studio 11 beta side by side and still use 2010 with the Windows Azure tools on Windows 8. So there's a great...
Yeah, if you go to the Azure portal, you're there.
Yep.
Yep. You have a nice walkthrough that shows
yeah,
you.
Yeah, so it shows you. Yep. And basically, the biggest thing to note is you pretty much have to set up IIS manually. So normally you would install, using the web platform installer, and it sort of configures IIS manually. So you basically just have to go in and select that you want, the various features you need for IIS. You set those manually, and then it's pretty much a regular installation. And I've actually been using it now since the consumer preview has come out, and really have not had any issues running Windows Azure. You know, the emulator, all that stuff works. So if you're one of those people who likes to try out the newest and latest stuff, Windows 8 consumer preview and Windows Azure work well.
Go get it.
Cool. All right, so before we get started, I want to address something on a little bit more of a serious side. As some of you know, it's been a little while since we've had a cloud cover episode. I just want to blame Wade, my boss, for that. He's really dropped the ball, Wade and the new host. So I want to apologize to everyone. It's been about a month. We're trying to pick up the slack of Wade.
I'm the
David.
I'm part of picking up the slack, which is a double-edged sword.
I don't know if we're doing a great job, but we're trying to cover them. So yeah. All right. So now that we've
I haven't told my teammates yet that I'm not going to be working on the Azure SDK anymore.
Now you're just full time.
I get paid full time to be co-host of Cloud Cover. This is just I wanted a job like this where it's just an hour a week.
So we're going to do every day now. It's going to be a 3-hour episode.
Yeah.
So with only Glenn.
That's
Glenn
pretty easy.
Ben, yeah. He'll be making up news also. It'll be entirely fake news. So, all right. So I guess now let's move into the feature. We've got the Cloud 9 guys here. So why don't you guys walk us through Cloud 9 and maybe a demo.
Talk a little bit about it first.
Yeah,
do you
absolutely.
That's usually a good thing.
That's, yeah, get them in.
Yeah, so... Cloud 9, for those that have not heard about it or have not played with it, is an online IDE. It's a place online where you can build your application from, the edit stage.
C9.io.
C9.io. Thank you. All the way to the deploy stage. I think it's a very important development in, the way that applications are built. And it's currently the only way to deploy to Azure from non-Windows platforms. So that's really cool, and I think that Matt will show us something.
Yeah, I'll show an example application. How to
cool.
Work with it.
Yeah, let's jump in, and I'll let you. Let's go ahead and switch, and I'll let you take over.
Okay. Okay, so here I am at the Cloud9 sign-in page. This will be interesting because I'm usually not on a ThinkPad, but I'm going to sign in here. You can sign up through GitHub or Bitbucket. Those are two really quick options, or you can just create an account really easily. And what happens when you sign in is you're taken to our dashboard, which shows you some information about your account. And if you signed in via GitHub, or if you have your GitHub account attached to Cloud9, then... Oh. Yeah, I knew this would happen. How do you scroll on your laptop? Oh, my gosh, what did
there's,
I do?
There, yeah, there's... the sidebar thing.
Oh, is that what a scroll bar is?
Yeah. There's no...
First interaction with Windows.
Yeah, on Mac, they've gotten rid of scroll bars entirely. It's this crazy concept. But anyway...
you can use that red button there also. I'm not entirely sure what that does. But some people like
that. Okay, so anyway, so you get your projects imported automatically. That is, they're listed, and you can click on one and import it.
And it's both... you can from like GitHub, you can pull in both public... and private projects, right?
Right, okay. Right. You can import it into Cloud9, and
you support FTP as well, right? You can use ordinary.
Yeah, actually, this is kind of an ominous sounding name, but Colt Research was a very, very ancient project I did for one of my old clients, and as many developers are used to, you have all of these FTP accounts that are all over the place on your laptop, on your desktop, or you go to your client's house and. This happened to be an instance where I had an old client who needed some work done, and by that time we had FTP support on Cloud9, so I just put it right on Cloud9, and now I can access it from anywhere.
Nice.
So that's really cool. If you're doing, CMS work or anything like that, it's a really nice feature. So
your point is you don't have to necessarily be a developer to benefit from some of the features of Cloud9.
Exactly. So... I'm going to cut some corners here, but if you want to create a new project, you just go to the top here. You can clone from a URL or create a new project, you know, with FTP or Mercurial or Git, and create a private project or a public one. But I've already created an account or a project, so I'm going to open that up. I've already got it selected, so I'll start editing. And here we'll pull up the IDE. And so this is, first you get a little project introduction, so you can see, you know, all the different features of the IDE. You can kind of go through a walkthrough if you want to. But we know what we're doing, so I'm just going to go to the straight
to the
editor.
Yeah, the features on, I mean, Cloud9 to me really pushes the bar of what's achievable in a browser. Like, we used to have all these debates about, you know, can you have, like, a really rich, like, yeah, you can do Gmail. Can you have a really rich application experience? And I think Cloud9 is one of the first browser apps I've seen that really pushes that bar of where, if I didn't see the Chrome, I wouldn't know that I was in a web app.
Yeah, I appreciate
and
that.
It's awesome.
Thanks.
Yeah.
And that's really important also, because what an IDE does is actually, you know, the user interface, the user interaction. That's its purpose.
Yeah. Do you see people, like, I know you guys are open source, do you see people taking this and running with it and doing other kinds of things? Like, I mean, it seems like you've done so much work that, like, you've planted the foundation that other people could, like, build really cool apps.
It's funny, we actually get people who interact with our other more foundational components, like JSDAV, which is the file system access, and writing to it as well, and then also ACE, the editor component is the most important component of building an IDE. And they see that stuff and they say, you know, I'm thinking about building an online IDE, and we go, oh, well, you should, you know, take a look at how this does it, and they go, oh, someone already did that.
It's open source. Anybody can use it. That's
right.
Awesome.
Right. Yeah. So it's that's a way a lot of developers find us, is actually through our open source components, which is, you know, speaks to the heart of that message.
And with that, we end off my first tangent of the day.
There will be about 7 or 8 more. Don't worry. We'll spice things up. So as you can see, I've already had this project open. We know that because there's a file selected on the project files list. I've already scrolled to a certain point with, you know, the line highlighted and all that stuff. And Cloud9 keeps all the state on the client. So wherever you open it up, I didn't even use this laptop before, it'll save that state. So one of the really great things about Cloud9 is that it allows you to run and debug your application straight from the browser. And Node.js application straight from the browser. So this is Node Chat. It's kind of the proverbial, you know, colloquial chat application that, you know,
just weigh in for some of the viewers who may not know, like, what Node.js is. Mm-hmm. Node.js is a new way to build applications that's emerged over the last couple of years. It's server-side JavaScript, and it's built off of the Chrome. It basically uses the Chrome V8 engine for JavaScript, and it builds a layer on top for actually writing server-side apps in JavaScript. Now, some of you may be like, of course, I do that every day, but some of you may not be. So, so Cloud9 is not only for Node.js apps, but that's one of the really rich features.
Exactly, exactly. And Node.js is all about concurrency, so being able to do, you know, so to speak, multiple operations at the same time with callbacks. So when something is done, you get a callback, a notification of that. NodeChat is a really good example that demonstrates that, because it is a chatting application, so you have a bunch of people connected at the same time. Demonstrates Node's low overhead for having multiple connections, as, you know, as opposed to something like Apache, or, you know, at a situation where you would want tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of people connected to one single instance at the same time.
So I don't actually need a special web server. You're saying Node is the web server.
Node is the web server. So it has in 5 lines of code, you can create an HTTP server and use that as part of the application stack rather than as part of the infrastructure stack that's underneath your application. So with that, you get a ton of power that all these utilities can latch into and expose that HTTP stuff directly to the application. So NodeChat demonstrates some of that with Socket.io it uses, I believe.
What is Socket.io?
Socket.io is... with WebSockets, you have full duplex bidirectional communications. What that means is a client connects to the server, and the connection persists. So whenever a server has a message to send back to the client, it can send it back to the client. Now, you know, TCP connections and traditional desktop applications have known this for years, but on the web, the standard for the longest time was how can we serve a web page to the client as quickly as possible and then cut off the connection? But that doesn't really do well if you want to have servers sending messages back to the client whenever those messages appear. So Socket.io takes that full duplex communication concept and makes it available for all browsers back to Internet Explorer 6, I think. And so you interact with Socket.io as an abstraction layer on top of that kind of idea, and it's really seamless for developers to do that.
And you don't have to just use WebSockets. So like it has what's called feature detection. It can fall back. It supports lots of different protocols. You could have a Flash client and use Flash WebSockets, for example. So it offers really rich, and it's completely transparent.
Yeah.
Cool.
And, okay, so here we have our application entry point is server.js, and we can just go ahead and click the debug button, and it'll run that current file. Cloud9 will spit back a URL that you can access your application from. So in this case, it's an HTTP server, so HTTP server will serve back the application that's running. Enter my name here. Oh, I know why it's stuck on loading. Is before, when I was working on this application, I set a debug point for when a user joins the channel. So what you see here is it's stuck on this debug breakpoint, and we can kind of step through it with the debugging functionality. You get a call stack. You can see all the different variables that are available in this local and global instance. And you can also execute code. So you can see, you know, like for instance, this was the URL that was passed to the server from Socket.io, and you know, the client is still stuck in the loading state. But if I hit play here, then you'll see down at the console here, Matt, join. And if we go back to the application, here I am in the application.
And this is just gold for, you know, anybody who's developed with Node before. This debugging thing can be a problem. And
right,
it's
exactly.
Not a problem when you work with Cloud9.
Exactly. Yeah, this is all obviously visual, and you've seen the gist of it. I maybe should add a drum roll or something, but I forgot that I set that breakpoint. But
we can get the drum roll by the time.
Oh, good. Yeah, post production. We'll do it in post. Yeah. So, and then as you also see, all the console logging comes back to Cloud9, so you get all the output from the application as well. So not only do you get the debugging, you get the console logging, you get the interactivity, and all that stuff. So it's really the fullest Node.js experience that you can get on the web, on development.
Now, Cloud9 is all, when I'm writing a Node.js app, I'm basically in JavaScript. And so There's good ways to write JavaScript and bad ways to write JavaScript. Does Cloud9 help me at all?
Yes, it does, sir. So what we do, we have a few things. The first thing that you'll notice is on the left, you'll see some, this is JS Hint, and for those of you who don't know what JS Hint is, it's based on JS Lint, which was written by Douglas Crockford, but JS Hint is a little less stringent about its stylistic, admonishings, I guess you would say. It isn't so anal about what you do, but it'll still give you some hints or errors when you write breaking JavaScript code. So, we can do like, it'll give us a little error here and what it'll say, illegal token. So it tells you if you wrote.
Really cool.
Yeah. And what else can you do? So it's all live. You can see that's all updated really quickly.
Global detection is
great. Oh, global detection is great. So you can do, this is a big one. Oops. So you have a little yellow underline here that says, oh, that's right. It doesn't tell you in the gutter or whatever. But if you have a global variable, it'll tell you, this is a global variable, and it'll highlight it. Or, for instance, if you just have something here, just put var hello. So it tells you if it's unused by striking through the variable.
Sweet.
So
cool.
A lot of the...
Can you configure what it enforces versus what it doesn't, or is it pretty much fixed?
It's fixed right now, but our colleague Zeph Hemel, who wrote this. It's based on TreeHugger, which is a great abstraction around the AST, so the abstract syntax tree.
I love the names of node modules. It's just awesome.
He took a trip to the northwest coast recently and took some pictures of him hugging some redwood trees, so we're going to use those.
There's a module over there. Yeah.
Zeph actually made TreeHugger. He has a PhD in this area.
Yeah. Oh. Language analysis.
Yeah. And it's the core of what we're doing with JavaScript right now, but it can be extended for other languages as well in the future. And it's very intelligent. It's like, you know, a query language for an AST.
Sweet. Yeah, it's amazing. Yeah. You can define different rules. So he built the whole thing and then, you know, just said, show me variables that have never been defined before, or, you know, that are never used further down in the AST or whatever. Yeah.
So one of the things I worry about if I see this, you know, and I know probably some of the people in the audience who have never used Cloud9 might be thinking this, is like, I don't like to take my hands off the keyboard, right?
Yeah.
When I'm in my IDE of choice, everything is like shortcuts, right?
Right.
So like here, it's like, do I have to like use the mouse? Because
you
that
don't.
Could be a showstopper.
That's true. And so we have hugely popular utility for doing that called Vim mode. And you can see here we're already entered into Vim mode and you get your little thing. And if you go into insert mode by hitting I, you'll see that the indicator down in the status bar shows that you're in insert mode, which you would kind of know anyway. You can hit escape and all of the different Vim commands that you're used to. You know, we made some changes, so I can hit the colon there and hit enter, and you know, all the different things that you're used to.
Cool.
To interact with Vim mode is there. So.
Yeah, but I think that all functions have shortcuts, from saving to finding, Zen mode.
Well, that was really what my question was, not right. Just about Vim mode.
Yeah.
It's just like when I use VS, Visual Studio, it's not Vim mode, but I can do like alt file save or something like that.
Yeah,
right.
Does Cloud9 give me that ability? Can I like save my file that I'm in?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, okay. We have...
without having to go to the menu.
Right. We have, I believe, the keyboard shortcuts window. So you can actually
see. Oh, cool.
It'll detect which platform you're on, so it'll show you if you're on Windows or,
sweet.
Or Mac.
Oh, so I can even do step through as well.
Yeah.
Oh, anybody who's used Visual Studio will love that.
Yeah. Exactly. Okay, and then, so I'm sure that there's a million things that I can talk about when it comes to Cloud9, but one of the greatest features that we have going is deployment. So you can set up a new... deployment to Heroku and Joint, but we won't talk about those. We'll talk about
Azure. Who knows Azure?
Yeah.
We're going to edit that out.
Right? Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah, I don't think we're actually allowed to show that, because this is like on a non-Windows machine. Well, here we're not, but we're enabling people from, you know, outside Windows to deploy to Azure.
This is a very awkward.
No, which is one of the great features. I mean, at the Node Node conference a couple months ago.
Node Summit.
Node Summit. Scott Gu demoed, you know, deploying, to Azure using Cloud9 from a Mac, and I mean, it really opens up Windows Azure to a whole new audience that doesn't have PCs. So
yeah, we had to call ambulances.
I'm playing the confused customer. Yeah, I'm, of course, completely on board.
I mean, it's great because you don't have to install the Azure tools or anything like that. I mean, obviously I have the Azure tools installed on this computer, but you could log on to any computer. I mean, you know, a computer at a hotel and open this thing up, assuming they have Chrome, but most likely they're on IE6 at a hotel, so
yeah,
that won't
work.
The other thing I think you did that's awesome is with the Git integration, like a lot of people work out of Git, right? And like if I'm on a Mac, and let's say I am working locally in my text editor, but then I push to Git, and now I want to deploy to Cloud9, I mean deploy to Azure,
right.
I can just open Cloud9, very quickly pull in.
Exactly.
And you have full Git integration also, right?
Yeah, like that's something I should have shown. So down in the console here, you can... you know, you can do a Git status on all the different files that you've worked with. All the Git tooling is there, and you actually see
that's
a
really
helper
cool.
menu of all the different options.
And
you
do syntax completion as well for like some of the APIs and JavaScript stuff too.
Oh
right?
Man, how did I forget that? Thank you. Yeah, there's so many that we have added with JavaScript support, but we have code completion as well. So, what's one request dot. URL, so it shows you all the different variables that everyone's used to with IntelliSense, but now with JavaScript as well.
Awesome.
Cool. Yeah. Awesome. To get back to the deployment process real quick. So Windows Azure, so you can create a new deployment target. If you don't already have your certificate set up, then then you can download it from the Windows Azure site. It takes you automatically to the login page. You download it to your computer and upload it through Cloud9.
Download the published settings.
Published settings, yep. Exactly. Yep. And then once you do that, Cloud9 already knows all your configuration stuff. And so, you can go through all the different configuration options. So
not that many.
Oh, yeah. Well, the idea is that you get a lot to satisfy your application's needs. So rather than go through all that, I've already... Is this up and running? I don't know if I set this up completely before. Yeah, I didn't set that up completely before. So I already have a deployment instance set up, so you can click deploy.
Oh, cool. So I can actually deploy to staging as well.
Yeah, you can deploy to staging, deploy to production. So the great thing about deploying to staging is Azure customers know, for those of you who don't, is that once it does fully deploy to staging, you can test it out, and then you can do the swap, which just immediately swaps it to the production environment once everything is working.
How would I swap from within?
So you just go to the open the portal. And
oh, sweet. So I can get right to the portal.
Or open to the portal. I'm not logged in there. But yeah, once you log in, then you can manage all that stuff.
And you can you can set, you talked about the settings. I mean, you can set the number of instances when you deploy. So, for your staging, if you want to just do a test deployment, maybe you just have two instances. But, if you got a really big application right in Cloud9, you can say, I want 10 instances, deploy out, and then, you're good to go. So, yeah, it's super easy way to deploy to Windows Azure to get started.
Yeah, just a few clicks. Yeah.
So I noticed, I'm guessing this is like WebRoll, and a lot of people who are looking at like Node and Azure also like WorkerRoll because it lets them do like pure WebSockets, this kind of stuff.
Right.
Is there any?
I think you're probably the best resource on this, since you know all about the finer details of the WebRoll and WorkerRoll.
Yeah, so I think it'd be great. I think we are in discussions about enabling Cloud9 to have WorkerRoll support there, which will give you the ability to say, if I don't want to run on top of IIS. Which there are some scenarios where that makes a lot of sense, like if I want to use WebSockets today, that you'll be able to do that.
Yeah. So I mean, for those people that don't know, like if you're running Node.js in a web role, you're running in IIS with the IIS Node module, so which is great. I mean, you get a lot of good benefits. Auto scale with number of cores. Logging, things like that. So it's a really nice tool. But if you do want specifically features that IIS doesn't support. Such as Glenn's on his phone through the...
I'm shutting the sound off. I'm not tweeting. Did you hear that?
We're live tweeting the show, right?
Live tweeting.
For some reason, nobody's replied. I don't know why.
It's very strange.
So if you want to use something, specifically WebSockets, that isn't supported in IIS, a web role is great for that, because you're just running raw Node sort of closer to the, closer to the metal. So
yeah, so we'll continue to work with Microsoft on the Azure stuff and make it even better. So yeah, this is a good first step, though. This is insanely easy. You can already see it's just a few clicks to get your application on Azure. So
and just to remember, like as you can see in the demo, we're doing this on Windows. So Cloud9, you don't have to be. Although it certainly has a great value prop if you want to deploy to Azure right now and you're not on Windows. But this is, one thing that's really cool about Cloud9 is I don't have to install anything. I mean, that is in itself is just pretty awesome. People like that security feeling of, hey, I can just dabble in, copy the Hello World right off of the Node.js website into Cloud9 and run it and see it working.
So yeah, Cloud9 is really definitely awesome. A full-blooded web-based application for doing development. So
fantastic. Yeah.
Thanks, Glenn.
Cool.
I appreciate that. Praise.
All right, well, I think it's that time again.
Why?
So I guess let's go to our tip of the week.
Yeah, tip of the week!
All right.
One.
What's up?
One.
Duck!
And we're back. Glenn. Okay.
Sorry.
Glenn. So our tip of the week today is going to be delivered by Glenn. So we've finally managed to pry him off his phone. So why don't you take it away?
Tip of the week for Node.js developers is npm cache clean. And what npm cache clean will do is when you use npm, which is the node package manager, and you're downloading modules, sometimes something might mess up and you get like, and there's a cache where those modules live. And if something got corrupted, you could lose 5-10 hours like I did, which prompted me to write this blog post, and where you're getting some weird errors that don't make any sense. So if you, usually when that happens, you go to another machine and you see it works fine. So then you know, okay, it really is my machine. And so you can save yourself a lot of heartache by just whenever you have any npm issue, just do first npm cache clean. And if you want to know how painful it can be when you don't do that, read my blog post, My Tale of NPM Woe. When all else fails, clear your cache.
Great.
You can find that on my blog, which I think they'll have a link to.
We will put a link to. Yep.
And absolutely. Which I just found out that Nate doesn't like the name of my blog. It should be glennblock.com, but it won't be by the time
I was
you
just
look
confused,
at it.
You know, that it's like Glenn actually doesn't know, is that you don't know how to like host your own blog, or just too lazy? No. We have actually
I'm
this really nice
on hosting my own blog.
We have this really good service that you could use. Actually, it's Windows Azure, so you. All right. Yeah. So anyway. Well, I think that's our show for the day. Thank
We've
you.
Heard with, enough people's
with
feelings.
With pot shops and everything.
Yes, yes. So thanks, everyone, for watching. And hopefully our next show will be next week. So, all right.
Thank you guys.
Thanks, everybody.